Welcome to More Than Medicine, where Jesus is more than enough for the ills that plague our culture and our country. Hosted by author and physician, Dr. Robert Jackson.
Papa, can you tell me a story?
Do you really want me to tell you a story? Well, you go get your brother and your sisters, and I will tell you a story. Welcome to Devotions with Dr. Papa. Gather around, grab your Bibles, and let's look into the written Word, which reveals to us the living Word, which is our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, we're going to go backwards a little bit in the book of Daniel, and we're going to go back to Daniel chapter 8, which is where Daniel has the vision of the ram and the goat. And first, we're going to look at when, where, and what happens. The Bible tells us plainly when and where Daniel has this vision of the ram and the goat. So let's start reading in Daniel chapter 8. In the third year of the reign of Belshazzar, the king, a vision appeared to me. So that tells us the answer to when. In the third year of the reign of Belshazzar, the king, Daniel, subsequent to the one which appeared to me previously. So he tells us that a vision appears to him, and this was a subsequent vision, separate from the vision that appeared to him previously. In verse 2, he says, I looked in the vision, and while I was looking, I was in the citadel of Susa, which is in the province of Elam. And I looked in the vision, and I myself was beside the Ulai Canal. So where did this occur? In the citadel, or the capital city of Susa, in the province of Elam. And he's beside the Ulai Canal, which is by the river Eulaeus. Then he lifted my eyes and looked, and behold, a ram, which had two horns, was standing in front of the canal. Now the two horns were long, but one was longer than the other, with the longer one coming up last. I saw the ram butting westward, northward, and southward, and no other beast could stand before him, nor was there anyone to rescue from his power. But he did as he pleased and magnified himself. Now, who was the ram? Well, the Bible tells us plainly over in verse 20. In verse 20, it says, the ram which you saw with the two horns represents the kings of Media and Persia. We'll talk about that momentarily. In verse 5, while I was observing, behold, a male goat was coming from the west, over the surface of the whole earth, without touching the ground, which indicates that he approaches very rapidly. And the goat had a conspicuous horn between his eyes. He came up to the ram that had the two horns, which I had seen standing in front of the canal, and rushed at him in his mighty wrath. I saw him coming beside the ram, and he was enraged at him, and he struck the ram and shattered his two horns, and the ram had no strength to withstand him. So he hurled him to the ground and trampled on him, and there was none to rescue the ram from his power. Then the male goat magnified himself exceedingly, but as soon as he was mighty, the large horn was broken, and in its place there came up four conspicuous horns toward the four winds of heaven. Now, dear reader, who is the he-goat? Well, once again, the Bible tells us plainly who the he-goat was. In verse 21 of that same chapter, the shaggy goat represents the kingdom of Greece, and the large horn that is between his eyes is the first king. The broken horn and the four horns that arose in its place represents four kingdoms, which will arise from his nation, although not with his power. So let's talk about this a little bit. The ram with the two horns, with one longer, and the longer one that came up last, and progresses to the west, the south, and the north, and none opposed him, and he did as he pleased, and he magnifies himself. That is the kingdom of Media and Persia. It's a ram with two horns. The two horns equals the two arms of silver that we read about in chapter 2. It's represented by the bear with two sides that we read about in chapter 7. And the defeat of Media Persia by Greece is predicted in advance. And then history bears this out by the next creature, which is the he-goat. That he-goat, that male goat, arrives from the west rapidly. And he has one conspicuous horn, and that's Greece. And that notable horn, the first king, is none other than Alexander the Great, who is predicted to be cut off and replaced by four notable horns. And of course, history records that after his very rapid success, that Alexander died at an early age in a drunken debauch in Nebuchadnezzar's former palace. And his kingdom was divided by his four generals, since his nation and his generals were reluctant to give the kingdom to his infant son. Well, the he-goat equals the belly of bronze that we studied in chapter 2. The four notable horns equal the leopard with four heads that we studied in chapter 7. History informs us that Alexander's four generals and their territory was divided to them. All the territory that Alexander the Great conquered was divided to his four generals. Number one was Ptolemy. He inherited Egypt, Cyrene, Syria, and the southern parts of Asia Minor. And then Lysimachus inherited Thrace, Bithynia, and Lycia, Phrygia, and Mysia. Cassander inherited Macedon and Greece. And then Seleucus inherited all the rest from the river Euphrates to the Indus River. Well, then we're not done. Let's go back to reading in chapter 8. The Bible tells us that out of one of these horns came forth a rather small horn. Now, let's stop here. I want you to understand that between verse 8 and verse 9, there is a large amount of time. And you have to understand that the biblical Old Testament prophets knew nothing of the church age. And in fact, in Ephesians, Paul calls the church age a mystery. A mystery in the Bible is something that is previously not revealed. It's a secret. And the church age was a mystery, a secret, something not revealed to the Old Testament prophets. Now, let me give you an illustration. Have you ever stood in the mountains and you've looked from one mountain peak to the next mountain peak? And you can see the mountain peaks, but what you cannot see is the valley between them. Well, the church age is the valley that the Old Testament prophets could not see. It was a mystery to them. And between verse 8 and verse 9 here is the valley. It's the church age. And there's a vast amount of time between verse 8 and verse 9 that represents that mysterious church age that the Old Testament prophets simply could not fathom, could not see, could not comprehend or understand. And so I want you to understand that between these two verses are the thousands of years represented by the church age. Because between the conquest of Alexander the Great and then the rising of the little horn who represents Antichrist in verse 9 is the church age. So bear that in mind, because when we read about the next verses, this occurs during the tribulation time, which is the end of the church age, after the rapture of the church. So let's read. And that puts this into historical perspective. Out of one of them came forth a rather small horn, which grew exceedingly great toward the south, toward the east, and toward the beautiful land, which is Palestine. It grew up to the host of heaven and caused some of the host and some of the stars to fall to the earth, and it trampled them down. It even magnified itself to be equal with the commander of the host. Commander is capitalized there. And it removed the regular sacrifice from him, capitalized him. And the place of his sanctuary was thrown down. And on account of transgression, the host will be given over to the horn along with the regular sacrifice, and it will fling truth to the ground and perform its will and prosper. Then I heard a holy one speaking, and another holy one said to that particular one who was speaking, "How long will the vision about the regular sacrifice apply? While the transgression causes horror, says to allow both the holy place and the host to be trampled." He said to me, "For 2,300 evenings and mornings, then the holy place will be properly restored." When I, Daniel, had seen the vision, I sought to understand it. And behold, standing before me was one who looked like a man. And I heard the voice of a man between the banks of Uli. And he called out and said, "Gabriel, give this man an understanding of the vision." So he came near to where I was standing. And when he came, I was frightened and fell on my face. But he said to me, "Son of man, understand that the vision pertains to the time of the end." So understand now clearly, reader, listener, this vision pertains to the time of the end. Now, while he was talking with me, I sank into a deep sleep with my face to the ground. But he touched me and made me stand upright. He said, "Behold, I'm going to let you know what will occur at the final period of the indignation, for it pertains to the appointed time of the end." So understand that these verses that I've just read to you, Gabriel has explained to Daniel that they pertain to the time of the end. Well, then an explanation of all of this is given by Gabriel, one of the archangels. Michael and Gabriel are archangels. And as we discussed in previous sessions, there's a lot of angelic activity going on in the book of Daniel. And the angels give Daniel explanations for these visions. So, the small horn in verse 9, which grew exceedingly great, he turned to the south, he turned to the east, and to the beautiful land, which is Israel. And then in verse 10, he collected the stars, in other words, certain angels, and he has supernatural power granted to him by Satan. In verse 11, he magnified himself over the commander of the host, over God himself, and he removes the regular sacrifice, and the sanctuary itself is thrown down. In verse 12, due to grievous sin, the host and the sacrifice will be given over to the little horn, and he will fling truth to the ground, and his reign will be based upon lies, and he will perform his will and prosper, but only temporarily. How long? Well, the Bible tells us that for 2,300 mornings and evenings. Now, why mornings and evenings? Because there was a morning and evening sacrifice, a morning and evening oblation. So divide that in half, and you have 1,150 days. And if you divide 1,150 days by the 360 days of the Jewish calendar, that will equal 3 years, 2 months, and 10 days. Now, that's not quite 3 years, 2 months, and another month, times, and a half a time. Matthew 24:22 tells us, Jesus himself tells us, that for the sake of the elect, that those days will be shortened. It's not going to be exactly 3 years. It's going to be cut short, because Jesus says that all flesh will be destroyed except for the fact that those days will be shortened for the sake of the elect. Well, then, if we move over in chapter 8 to verse 23, the Bible then begins to explain a little more about this particular little horn and who he is. The little horn of chapter 8 equals the little horn of chapter 7. The same person. The little horn of 7 arises from the fourth beast, which is Rome. The little horn of chapter 8 arises from the third beast, which is Greece. And these four notable horns will still be in existence at the end time, in the last days. And the little horn will arise out of one of these countries who will still be in existence. And I'm pointing out to you that these four countries are still existing today. For example, let me just read something to you that I find quite fascinating. These scriptures clearly point to the fact that these same four territories, which were divided among the four generals of Alexander the Great, shall be existing in the last days. And I want to point out that they are still existing today. That portion of Asia Minor, which was the kingdom of Lysimachus, known as Turkey, became a sovereign state in 1299 AD. The dominion of Seleucus, which today is called Iran or Persia, became a sovereign state in 1794. Cassander's old kingdom of Greece regained its sovereignty in 1830 AD. And the last of the four, Egypt, which was given to Ptolemy, became a sovereign state on October the 22nd, 1930. These four countries are going to be existing in the last days. And the little horn will arise out of one of them. Don't you see that the place of the birth of the little horn is now being set up? And he will arise soon. And he could be even living today. The little horn is no one else but the Antichrist. And he shall arise out of one of the four kingdoms. And I would suggest to you that the one which is of the north at the time of that prophecy is probably Syria or Iran. Keep your eye upon the country of Syria or Iraq or Iran, because those countries were united, especially Syria and Iraq. And there are many theologians who believe that Antichrist will arise from Syria or Iraq. Now, could that be wrong? Of course it could be. None of us have an exact handle on biblical prophecy, but there are many who are convinced that that will be true. Now, in verse 23, who are the transgressors? Let me read verse 23 to you. It says, in the latter period of their rule, when the transgressors have run their course, a king will arise, insolent and skilled in intrigue. Now, who are the transgressors? I suspect that it's the 10 kings of the revived Roman Empire, which could be represented by the United Nations today or its equivalent at the end time. The verse tells us that a king will arise. It's the little horn, insolent and skilled in intrigue, skilled in deception. In verse 24, it further elaborates on this little horn or the Antichrist. His power will be mighty, but not by his own power. And he will destroy to an extraordinary degree and prosper and perform his will. He will destroy mighty men and the holy people. You see, the Antichrist will be mighty in power, but it won't be his power, his own power. He will be empowered by Satan himself, the master of deceit. And he will destroy to an extraordinary degree. He will destroy and overcome kings and military men and high-ranking politicians and the wealthy elite to the shock and dismay that will accomplish his own will, and he will do so without opposition. And not only will he destroy mighty men, he will destroy the holy people, God's saints, during the tribulation time. Verse 25 tells us that, and through his shrewdness, he will cause deceit to succeed by his influence. And he will magnify himself in his heart. and he will destroy many while they are at ease, and he will even oppose the prince of princes. But he will be broken without human agency. You see, the Antichrist, the little horn, deception will reign supreme during his tenure. Pride and arrogance will fill his heart, so much so that he will dare to oppose the true king, the prince of princes. But listen, dear listener, he will be broken without human agency. Chapter 7, the preceding chapter in verse 26 tells us, but the court will sit for judgment, and his dominion will be taken away, annihilated, and destroyed forever. That will be the end of the little horn, the end of Antichrist, and without human agency. In Revelation chapter 19, the Bible concludes by telling us the very end of Antichrist. It tells us in Revelation 19, verse 19 to 21, and I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies assembled to make war against him who sat on the horse and against his army. And the beast was seized, and with him the false prophet who performed the signs in his presence, by which he deceived those who had received the mark of the beast and those who worshipped his image. These two were thrown alive into the lake of fire, which burns with brimstone, and the rest were killed with the sword, which came from the mouth of him who sat on the horse, and all the birds were filled with their flesh. You see, the end of the Antichrist is the lake of fire, and he knows it from the very beginning. He knows his end. And then verse 26 tells us that it's later than it's ever been. I told you once before that a farmer and his wife laid in the bed late at night, and their cuckoo clock rang 13 times, not 12, but 13. And he rolled over and looked at his wife, and he said, "Darling, it's later than it's ever been." And I'm telling you, dear listener, historically and on the prophetic calendar, it is later than it's ever been. You see what's happening in the Middle East. You see what's happening in Israel, and I say to you that you better keep your eyes on the eastern sky, because it's soon going to part, and the Lord himself is going to descend with a mighty shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and those of us who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Jesus is coming back soon. He's going to start to wrap up all of time and history according to his will. He's going to consummate all of time and history according to his will. And this little horn, the little horn, Antichrist, is going to meet his doom. And the Bible tells us all the way over in the book of Daniel what's going to happen. From the very beginning, Daniel tells us the end of Antichrist. And he tells us in Daniel chapter 7, then the sovereignty, the dominion, and the greatness of all the kingdoms under the whole heaven will be given to the people of the saints of the highest one. His kingdom will be an everlasting kingdom, and all the dominions will serve and obey him. It's later than it's ever been. Brothers and sisters, my challenge to you and to myself is to be pure and to be prepared. Brothers and sisters, be pure in heart and be prepared, because the King is coming. You're listening to Devotions with Dr. Papa. And if you like what you hear, I encourage you to share it, to like it, to download it, and to tell your friends about it. And may the Lord bless you real good.
Thank you for listening to this edition of More Than Medicine. For more information about the Jackson Family Ministry, Dr. Jackson's books, or to schedule a speaking engagement, go to their Facebook page, Instagram, or their webpage at jacksonfamilyministry.com. This podcast is produced by Bob Sloan Audio Production at bobsloan.com.